Heavenly Father, we pray you would open our ears and you would soften our hearts this morning. Help us to see this wonderful truth that we have a prophet who speaks your very words to us. So, Father, we pray we would hear him speak this morning. We pray we would hear the Lord Jesus. Amen. O come, true prophet of the Lord, and turn the key to heaven's door. Be thou our comforter and guide, and lead us to the Father's side. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall by his word our darkness dispel. So if you've heard fake news, alternative facts, speak your truth. So our world, it's a relentless battle over what is true. There is a constant thundering collision of competing narratives. Where do you find your truth? Where do you get truth from? Can you believe the news? Can you trust what you hear? Can you count on what you've been told? A few years ago, the word of the year was post-truth. I mean, fake news, alternative facts, competing narratives. They're coming at us from every direction. Everyone seems to have their own opinion on what truth is. But as humanity, we do all long for the truth. We long for something that is solid, something unshakable, something we can hold on to. But where can you hear it? Just pause for a moment. Just think to yourself, where does our world say you should listen to find the truth? See, perhaps the world says, well, listen to your heart. Be authentically yourself. Embrace that inner voice. Don't conceal, as my girls would tell you, let it go, like Elsa in Frozen. Let it go, be myself. When you find that idea saturating our culture, is peppered throughout books, TV shows, movies, self-help podcasts. Your heart, they say, is the compass of the truth. But do we really believe that? Do we really believe our heart is a reliable place to find truth? Or maybe the world says, well, trust your senses. Determine what is true by what you can feel, by what you empirically experience. But that approach quickly falls apart too. You see, if I was to solely rely on my own senses, well, then this world would appear to be flat and stationary. See, my senses, they don't comprehend that we're actually spinning around the sun at 1,000 miles an hour. We're constantly living in a world that is constantly battling for truth. And remarkably, the same was true of Israel in Moses' day, here in Deuteronomy. There were countless competing ideas about what was true, debates about who was the one true God, controversies over the right way to live. In many ways, Israel, back then, mirrors our world today. But Israel possessed something extraordinary. They knew the one true God. They knew the creator of the universe, the God who had dramatically rescued them out of the biggest, baddest world superpower of the time, out of the land of Egypt. And then that God had spoken to them directly from the top of Mount Sinai. And Moses stood there as God's spokesperson, as God's prophet. God met with Moses face to face. It's a relationship that was unparalleled in the history of humanity. But as we come to Deuteronomy, we're nearing the end of Moses' life. We've been told Moses is not going to accompany them into the promised land. There is a transition that is coming. So where will God's people find God's truth? With Moses about to exit the picture, how will God's people continue to hear God's voice? And throughout Israel's history, they were expectantly waiting for a prophet. They were expectantly waiting for someone who was going to come, be like Moses, and speak God's words to the people. And that hope is captured in these powerful words here in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, "The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." These words, spoken thousands of years ago, well, they pulse with relevance today. And they resonate with us even more this Advent season as we're working our way towards Christmas. Who are they waiting for? And what does the baby in the manger have to do with the answer? And where can we find truth? Well, the answer here in this passage is crystal clear. Where can we hear truth? Where can we find God's words? Well, answer, in the prophet that God is going to raise up. So what are we told about this prophet to come, and how does he point us to Jesus? Well, the first thing we see is that God promises to raise up a prophet from among the people. Have a look down at verse 15 again. "See, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." There's something deeply personal there. This prophet isn't coming from far away or arriving as a distant, detached figure. He's going to be one of their brothers. He's going to be an Israelite. He's going to be a Hebrew. He's going to be someone who understands them, someone who knows what it's like to walk in their shoes. Just think about how much that matters to us in everyday life. Imagine when you're facing that tough situation and someone starts to offer advice, but they clearly have no idea what you're going through. Think about the man who comes from Hemel Hempstead and then tries to tell you about Northampton when he has no idea what he's talking about. Think about the teenager who's told you don't need to fit in from someone who's never experienced social media pressure. Think of the boss who tells their front of house employee how to handle difficult clients whilst he's hiding in his office all day. So I remember being a 20-year-old all those years ago. I remember being told, being given lots of advice on what it's like to be single. The issue was the speaker had started the talk by saying, "Well, I got married to my lifelong sweetheart at the age of 18. Now, let me tell you what it's like to be single as a 20-year-old. See, sometimes we just think, you just don't get it. You just do not know what it's like. But do you see the beauty here in Deuteronomy 18? God's prophet will know. The prophet is going to come. He's going to be one of the people. He's not going to be an outsider who's looking in, but someone who shares their experiences. Not a distant person, but a brother. And that points us forward, doesn't it? That points us forward to that baby in the manger. See, Jesus, he could have just appeared as a vision, but he didn't. He didn't just float above us, untouched by the struggle of human life. No, he came to be one of us. He came to be born into a family, to experience hunger, thirst, joys and sorrows, to live among us, to be one of us. As Hebrews chapter 2 puts it, "For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way." See, that is the wonder of Christmas. At this time of year, we remember not just that Jesus was born, but more specifically, that he was born like us. He was raised up from among his brothers to fulfill this very promise here in Deuteronomy. He became one of us to speak to us, to bring God's truth down to our level so that we could understand and relate to it. Just like a parent kneeling down to look their child in the eyes, they get down on the child's level because it helps the child to connect to them. In the same way, Jesus came down to meet us where we are with a purpose, to lift us, lift our eyes back up to God. Just think how incredible that is when we consider this world's search for truth. We're bombarded with voices telling us, listen to your hearts, trust your feelings. But Jesus doesn't leave us fumbling around for answers, does he? Jesus steps into our story as one of us to guide us to the Father, to give us God's truth clearly, personally, and perfectly. So as we reflect on this promise of a prophet to come here in Deuteronomy 18, let's remember that Jesus isn't distant. Jesus isn't detached. He is the promised prophet who came close. He's the one who knows what it's like, the one who speaks God's truth so we can understand it and live it. Jesus says that he is our brother, and he can say that because he is one of us. God promised to raise up a prophet from the people, and in Jesus, he did. But it goes further than that. Did you see in our passage this morning? It's not just a prophet who is promised here. This is a prophet like Moses. Have a look at verse 18. God is speaking this to Moses, and God says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him." This will be a prophet like you, that is, like Moses. But why Moses? What makes Moses the benchmark? Well, verse 16 gives us the clue. "For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die.'" So at Horeb, that is Mount Sinai, the people were overwhelmed by God's direct presence. They trembled at the fire, at the smoke, at the booming voice. It was all too much. So they pleaded for someone to go between them and God. And Moses was that person. Moses climbed the mountain. Moses received God's words, and Moses delivered those words to those people. Just imagine the scene for a moment. Just imagine an 80-year-old. Anyone you know who's 80? I always think of my friend Ken at church. Just imagine an 80-year-old trekking up and down Mount Sinai. Not just once, but again and again and again. Climbing through the fire, climbing through the smoke to bring God's word to God's people. That would be exhausting enough for me at age 35, let alone age 80. But in doing so, Moses shows us what a true prophet does. A prophet is someone who brings God's word faithfully, no matter the cost. That is what a prophet is. Someone who speaks for God, who takes God's words and speaks them to the people. And what's remarkable is that Moses wasn't just any messenger. Verse 18, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him." See, God put his words in Moses' mouth. Moses didn't speak his own thoughts or his own opinions. Moses spoke what God commanded. That is what set Moses apart. And this prophet is going to be like Moses in exactly the same way. But here's the key. No one ever matched Moses. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, we're told this plainly. I had the pleasure of teaching through the whole Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, in 1 year at my church. And it's in really interesting where it finishes. I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 34, if you want to find it, and look at verses 10 and 11. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 10 and 11, we get told, "Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land." See, since then, no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses. That is the verdict that comes at the end of Israel's history. All the way through the Old Testament, there has not been a prophet like Moses. Moses had a unique relationship with God. Moses met God face to face. He spoke to God as a friend. And he performed signs and wonders that had left a huge mark in Israel's history. Every other prophet, no matter how great, stood in the shadow of Moses. and throughout the entire Old Testament, right to the very last page, we are called to remember Moses. And so for centuries, Israel waited. They waited for someone who wasn't just going to follow Moses' footsteps, but someone who would surpass him. They waited for someone who would know God just as intimately and speak God's words just as powerfully. They were waiting for the prophet to come. And this longing, it came to a crescendo in the New Testament. So we had read earlier, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Just listen how this picks that up. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, and many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful words. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Do you see there? Jesus doesn't just surpass Moses. He raises the entire category of prophets. He is not just a messenger, but he is, in fact, the very source of that message itself. When Jesus speaks, it's not just a translation. When Jesus speaks, God is speaking. When Jesus speaks, he doesn't just relay what God has said. He is God's word. Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise. He is the prophet like Moses, but infinitely greater. Moses climbed up the mountain to meet with God. Jesus came down from heaven to meet with us. Moses spoke God's words. Jesus is God's word. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That word is Jesus, uniquely related to and united to the very one who inspires prophecy. So why does this matter to us? Well, because it shows us that in Jesus we have everything Moses pointed to. We have the one who doesn't just carry God's words, but embodies God's words. The one who doesn't just deliver God's commandments, but offers God's salvation. He is the very word of God himself. So this Christmas, let's not miss the wonder of what we've been given. Jesus, the prophet like Moses, speaks not just to our ears, but to our hearts. God promised to raise up a prophet like Moses, and in Jesus, he did. And that all comes together to call us to listen. You can see then the last verses of Deuteronomy 18, verses 19 to 22. They show us that God is going to raise up a prophet, and that prophet must be listened to. So listen to the warning Moses gives, verse 19 of Deuteronomy 18. I myself, God says, will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. Do you see how serious that is? God there is tying how we respond to his prophet to how we respond to him. To ignore God's prophet isn't just to reject a human messenger, it is to reject God himself. It's a bit like the authority of a police officer. Now, when the policeman shouts, "Stop! In the name of the law," it's not the officer's personal authority you're ignoring, it's the entire legal system that he represents. In the same way, if you ignore God's prophet, you're ignoring God himself. But there's even more, verses 20 to 21. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I've not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. Why is there such a harsh penalty? Well, because the truth matters to God. God doesn't want his people to be deceived or led astray. That's why he gives them a test, verse 22. If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or does not come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously so do not be alarmed. See, God's standards for God's prophets are uncompromising. God's prophets must speak God's words faithfully and accurately. There are no mistakes. There is no second chance. And that is why it points us once more to Jesus. Do you see the shock of all this? This is not just a prophet. Jesus doesn't just speak for God. This is unexpected. This is where it's all been going. Jesus is God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus doesn't just carry God's message, Jesus embodies God's message. Jesus doesn't just speak about God's truth, Jesus is God's truth. Jesus isn't just a voice that calls us to listen. Jesus is the Word itself. When we hear Jesus, we're not just hearing a prophet. We are hearing God himself. Every other prophet was a conduit. Jesus is the source. Every other messenger could be misunderstood, but Jesus is understanding. To ignore Jesus is not just rejecting a message. To ignore Jesus is to reject God himself. I mean, that raises the stakes, doesn't it? Even higher. To ignore Jesus is to ignore God in the most direct way possible. That's why the author of Hebrews says, we must pay most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, that's Mount Sinai, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? If we ignore Jesus? See, every time we open the Bible, every time we hear God's word, it is a moment of decision. Will we listen? Will we find life? Or will we walk away? And that warning's here too. God says, Deuteronomy 18, he is going to call to account anyone who does not listen to that prophet. So the stakes couldn't be higher. God's word isn't something that we can just treat casually. It's not something that is background noise. It's not something we can tune out when we're busy. God's word is the voice of the Creator calling us to life. And if we reject life, well, we're choosing death. But when we do listen to Jesus, when we trust and obey, we are not just hearing words, we're encountering salvation itself. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged because he has crossed over from death to life. As you hear the words, you cross from death to life. So this Christmas, let's remember the weight of these words. Jesus is the promised prophet, speaking not just with authority, but speaking also with love. He speaks not just to condemn us, but to save us. He stepped down out of heaven, came down to earth to raise us up to life. So let's listen to him, let's respond to him, let's rejoice in the one who doesn't just demand our attention, but who offers us life. See, God promised to raise up a prophet who must be listened to, and in Jesus he did. So here in Deuteronomy 18, we've seen that remarkable promise of God all those years ago. A promise to raise up a prophet from among his people. A prophet who was going to be like Moses, yet infinitely greater. A prophet whose words demand our attention because they are God's very words. But let's not leave this truth in the realm of theological ideas. Let's bring this home, shall we? The question we started was, how can we hear the truth? Well, the answer is still the same back then as it is now. Listen to the prophet that God has raised up. Or as we know him, listen to Jesus. This isn't just about hearing, letting the words go in one ear and out the other. To listen, to truly listen, means to let his words shape your life. To respond to him in trust and obedience. Because every time we hear Jesus' words, We're not just encountering information, we're encountering the living Word of God who calls us to life. That is the surprise of Advent, the surprise of Christmas. So let me ask you, where do you look for truth? Do you look in your heart? Do you trust your senses? Do you listen to the world's ever-changing narrative? This time of year is the time to change that. This time of year reminds us to turn our ears, to tune our hearts to Jesus, the one who doesn't just speak truth, but is truth. And as we remember that baby in the manger, we need to remember that he is the prophet. He is the one who stepped into this world to bring God's truth to us, the one who was raised from among us, like us in every way, yet without sin. The one like Moses who came to deliver us out of sin and death. And the one who doesn't just know God's words, but is God's words, because he is God himself. So will you listen? Will you let Jesus' words cut through the noise of this world? Will you let his truth bring light to your life? This isn't just information, this is transformation right here. And that means this Christmas we celebrate. That means we rejoice in the ancient promise we see right here. And we listen to the prophet God has raised up. We listen to Jesus. We respond to him in faith, trust, and obedience. And as that old hymn says, with these words here, O come, true prophet of the Lord, and turn the key to heaven's door. Be thou our comforter and guide, and lead us to the Father's side. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall by his word our darkness dispel.